It's Cody and Connor with Between Two Birds. It's the best sports podcast that you've ever heard. With the Orioles and Ravens, it's the best of Baltimore. With all the sporting news that you're looking for. Between Two Birds, enjoy the show. Between Two Birds, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of appropriate ages, welcome to the Between Two Birds podcast. I'm your host, Cody Colston.
And I am Connor Garcia.
And if I was a competent podcaster, we would have Eric of Barstool RTD. I can't remember his last name. How do you pronounce his last name?
RDiddy, I think.
RDiddy, okay. Yes, he would have been with us if I'm not so technologically incompetent at times. We recorded about 2 hours the night before, and we lost all of it. So we're starting from scratch this week. Well, for this week's podcast, and Eric is going to hopefully be able to come on next week's podcast. So be on the lookout for that. And it's going to be kind of short since we're kind of stressed on time, since it's not our normal recording hours. So with that in mind, we should hop right into it, shouldn't we, Connor?
We should.
Very astute of you to say. We definitely should. There's been a lot happening on the Orioles front, I think.
To say the least.
Yeah, to say the least. I think everyone knows what's going on at this point. But let's reiterate. The report was Dexter Fowler signed with the Orioles for 3 years, $35 million. Then it came through, what was it, the 24th, I believe, which was two days ago. That he signed with the Cubs for a one-year deal, $8 million, with a mutual option the following year for $9 million. And suddenly everyone turned on Dexter Fowler.
Yeah, it was not a fun couple hours in Orioles fandom.
Yeah, the BSR Slack was off the hook, as the kids say.
as the kids say, what are you, 30?
Oh, shut up. and it led to some pretty controversial comments. The Dexter Fowler's agent had some very choice words for the Orioles, which seemed very intimidating at the when they first came out. But this is also the guy that solely put the blame on the Astros for not signing Brady Aiken. When Brady Aiken, like, 2 months later, then he blew out his UCL. So, I can't really take this guy too much seriously. I mean, Duquette had a pretty, comment back, you know, it's, what do you say is, like, now that he's signed, I guess he can't say it's all about the money.
Yeah.
Or something to that extent. So that was quite interesting for a couple hours. I think the tweet kind of drove everything home for me was a reporter asked Fowler to the extent, you know, I thought we'd be seeing you in Baltimore, and he goes, catfish.
Yeah, that was just like, oh, come on, dude, really?
I think it was the Camden Depot. I can't remember who said it. I want to say it's Camden Depot. They had a tweet. It was a reference to his teammates or something to that extent. It wasn't about the Orioles supposedly, but I have a hard time believing that.
Yeah, it's bullshit. It's just,
I mean, even it was said Anthony Rizzo texted Fowler wishing him luck in Baltimore. So,
and like, around when it was happening, Orioles' least favorite, I wouldn't say least favorite because he's on a team with Jose Bautista, but Marcus Stroman, tweeted out sneaky man LOL at Dexter Fowler because I think they're both signed to Jumpman for like their shoes and stuff, like Air Jordans and stuff. So, but he's like sneaky man LOL at Dexter Fowler, and of course Orioles fans already hate Marcus Stroman, so this was just another nail in the coffin for him for Baltimore.
And it was interesting because Jones supposedly talked to him because Jones knows him personally, and you know he said he was excited, but then Dexter Fowler says that he got a sorry text from Jones saying, and Jones said that he jumped the gun. But I think it's just everyone trying to cover their ass and not look like a bad guy or something. I think it's Jones just trying not to get on Fowler's bad side, and Fowler, I don't know what Fowler's trying to do. At this point.
Yeah, I still like Jones's tweet like a couple hours after it's settled. He goes, at the end of the day, I love our guys we have. Let's go O's.
Yeah. What do you expect? I mean, Jones is a team player. There's a reason he's the captain of the team.
Unofficial captain.
Yeah, the unofficial captain, since it's not like football where they have captains. But I'd never seen something like this happen, really. The only time I've ever seen something like this happen, actually, is the DeAndre Jordan situation last offseason for the NBA.
Yeah, where he was supposed to sign with Dallas, and like he was being like held captive or something by Mark Cuban.
He had a verbal agreement with the Mavericks, and apparently the Clippers were trying to keep him from going, and supposedly it was Doc Rivers, Blake Griffin and Chris Paul went over to DeAndre's house, which I think is in LA, or might have been Texas. I can't remember where his house was, but they were there, and like they were trying to like hold him to. I think it's the signing when like they can actually sign, because I think it's kind of like how football is now, where they have a period where they can negotiate, but they can't sign until a certain date. And they were trying to hold him out. It was like, quote unquote, keeping him captive. Everyone says that because Blake Griffin kept on tweeting pictures of like a chair in front of a door, because Blake Griffin likes to troll. And then there was, I think it was Chris Bussard tweeting out, you know, Mark Cuban frantically driving around trying to get DeAndre Jordan's house address, and Mark Cuban pretty much putting Bussard on blast saying, no, that wasn't true. Why would I look for his address? You know, I'm friends with his agent or something to that extent. So.
Oh,
that was that whole situation. It just reminded me of that. I mean, I even I don't think I tweeted it out, but I texted somebody as a Dexter DeAndre Jordan Fowler. So.
Oh, you mean Chris Multiple Sources Broussard?
Yeah, multiple sources.
Multiple sources.
With the cross-eyed. It's a good meme. It's a nice meme.
It's a good little meme on the internet.
What are you, 30?
What are you, 30?
Oh, we're going to throw that one out more. What are you, 30?
What are you, 30? As, like, the rest of the BSR network listens to this, like, 30?
Well, I'm pretty sure the rest of the BSR network is 30, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, exactly, so.
Shout out to the BSR network.
Yeah. they let the kids come in and fuck everything up.
Exactly, yeah. They should never let us join. It was an immediate regret right there. Oh, well, that it's just, you know, and it's kind of, I don't know, Fowler I was never a fan of to begin with, really, because
I was the big Fowler guy, if anything.
Yeah, you were the Fowler guy, but, you know, he hit like 250 last year, kind of meh. His OBP is kind of eh. It was 346 last year. I mean, if he could get back to 2014 shape where he, you know, like, 276 with the Astros, you know, I would take that, but I don't know if that's going to happen considering what he's like 29 or about to be 30.
And now he's like the third or not, he's like the fourth outfielder with the Cubs, because they have probably Schwarber in left, Hayward in center, and
Soler
in right. Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's another thing I didn't get about that. If the Orioles had that offer on the table, he just turned down a starting job for 3 years.
Yeah, and guaranteed money.
Yeah, and guaranteed money. I don't. Yeah, that's another part I don't get.
I like the fact that his agents blaming the Orioles and the media when he took the crappier deal.
Yeah, and it's weird because it's also weird because, like, say he plays this year out, but if he gets like hurt or something, you know, he's going to have to take another one-year deal. And if they just take the option, if the Cubs agree to take on the option, he becomes a free agent in 2018. And that class is going to be ridiculous, because that's supposed to be the class of, what, Adam Jones, Manny Machado, Bryce Harper?
Yeah, Matt Harvey and all them guys.
Yeah, who's going to want Dexter Fowler and all that?
Nobody, especially he's going to be, what, 32?
Yeah, 32.
He'll be the...
A 32, the wrong side of 30.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's I don't get it. It's just, it's a mind-boggling move. Unless he just, honest to God, wanted to be in Chicago, which, you know, I wouldn't put it past a player, but,
especially,
just turning down tens of millions.
Especially with the team that the Cubs have now, which is,
yeah,
which is fair, but it's not like he spent his entire career there. He was there one season.
Yeah, and he would pretty much be riding the bench, being a role player. He can't DH. It's not the American League. So, I mean, if you want to make, what is it, like, whatever he's making, like, 12, 9 million sitting on the bench for half the season, you know, I mean, more power to him, but whatever. Can't really fault him for that. Speaking of Orioles signees, Yovani Gallardo signs, then he doesn't, apparently, because something was wrong with his shoulder, and then it was finalized. The original deal was 3 years, $33 million, and then it got negotiated down to 2 years, $22 million, with a club option for, like, $11 million. I don't know the numbers. I just have a rough... it's a rough guess from what I have in front of me at the moment. He had a shoulder issue that the team's doctors wanted to do another checkup on, and they guess they okayed it, and he signed for really dirt cheap. And I'm okay with the signing just for that reason alone.
Yeah, I like the 2 year with the third year option, especially since he's either 29 or 30.
He's about to turn 30.
Okay, so he's going to be 30 this season. He'll be 32 after the 2 years, and if he's been good, you can give him the next year and just keep him around, or you can just not bring him back, obviously. And it's...
Or he does well enough, but not to the point where you want to pay him that much money, slap a qualifying offer, get the pick back, or, you know, he breaks down, like, I guess what the doctors are kind of guessing with you know, negotiating down, is that, you know, he breaks down and you just let him walk, because you don't have anything invested in him at that point.
Yeah.
I like the price, just basically because, I mean, Ian Kennedy got paid, what, 5 years, $70 million?
Yeah, and then Rick Porcello even more with Boston.
Yeah, it's like mediocre pitchers getting paid absurd amounts of money, and, like, Yovani Gallardo is, like, a level above mediocre, I would say. He's average. I mean, he's like average to above average. You know, he's kind of the same what the Orioles already have, like Tillman and Jimenez. Like, they're good. They're good on occasion. You know, great when they're really great. But, you know, you're not necessarily. They're not. You know, you can't toss them out there and, you know, expect a win every night.
For every great start they have, they have about, like, three average and one terrible one.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's being, you know, kind.
Especially with this pitching staff.
Yeah. And the other trend I like with Gallardo is the fact that his ground ball percentage has gone up as the longer he's been in the league. So I'm not going to say I'm familiar with Gallardo. I don't know exactly the ins and outs of what he looks like. But guessing by... Yeah, he's never been a hard thrower, but... He's adjusted to the point where he's become a ground ball pitcher. He's no longer fly balls. And I like that because the Orioles never seem to have a ground ball pitcher. It's always been fly ball pitchers with the likes of, you know, like Wayne Chen's a fly ball pitcher. I guess, yeah, Gonzalez is a fly ball pitcher. I would say that. It's always fly ball pitchers. And when you play in Camden Yards, fly ball, you know, having a fly ball pitcher is playing with fire.
Yeah. And especially with how great the Orioles' infield defense is, with Machado at third, Hardy when he's healthy at short, Scope covers good range at second, and then Davis plays a good first. You have a great infield to stop anything that's on the ground there.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why, you know, Zach Britton did so great. Although his, like, bat, I think I was reading, he was one of the most unlucky relievers, and he still posted the numbers he did. So,
yeah, I mean, I feel like every Britton blown save, the ball never leaves the infield.
Exactly. It's a bunch of bleeding singles. And, you know, that's just kind of one of the worst ways to lose a lead, or, you know, something along those lines.
he's so good at pitching, the hitters just barely hit the ball, but it goes to like the weirdest spots to where nobody can get to it, and it's all infield singles.
Yeah, it's like it's luck. That's pretty much, you know, to put it in the easiest way to explain it, it's luck. But that's why I'm enjoying the Gallardo signing. I mean, it's, I don't like the fact they gave up the 14th overall. I don't think too many people are, because supposedly I think this is a weak draft, if I'm not mistaken. But they still have their second round, because they didn't sign Fowler, and they still have like four or five within the top 100, which is a decent haul. And you know, first round picks are never a guarantee like they, you know, are in most sports.
Yeah, like usually basketball, you know, football are your big first round guys. Hockey sometimes, but usually you can take a guy in like the second or third and they can turn out pretty decent.
Yeah, but I mean, baseball is pretty much a crapshoot. I mean, like, what is it? Mike Piazza was like the 400th pick or something crazy like that, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So you can never really guess with those things. But you know, it's just tough to give up a high pick like that with you're not getting as great as you could possibly get. I mean, you know, you probably could get an ace in the first round, but then again, you could also get an ace in like the seventh round or whatever.
Yeah, like here I'll just read off some. Parker Bidwell was drafted in the 9th round. Oliver Drake was in the 43rd round. Michael Givens was the 54th overall in the 2nd round. So, well, he came in as a shortstop, so he was still pretty high. Tyler Wilson was in the 10th round, and Mike Wright was 3rd round. So these are guys that are still at the major league level. So
yeah, they're major league talent. Yeah. You could call them that, even if they're like AAA or whatever. Yeah.
You know, Davis, 5th round. JJ.
I meant quadruple A. My bad.
Yeah, there you go. Hardy, 2nd. Adam Jones. I think Adam Jones is like the only first round guy besides like Weeders and
Madison Britton. Right? Or Britton was a 2nd rounder, wasn't he?
Yeah, and Manny, obviously. Britton was I can look it up. I just have him all right. Britton was 3rd round.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean,
and then Gausman.
Yeah,
but maybe Tillman was 2nd with Seattle. So Trumbo was 18th round.
Yeah, so you can still get quality players in the later rounds. It's just, you know, it's always like, I guess people feel like the ceiling is always higher on a first-round pick in baseball, but it normally isn't.
Yeah, so like Mike Trout was like the 21st overall pick.
Yeah,
in his draft, when if they redid that, he would go number one
every day of the week. Yeah. So, you know, I appreciate the Gallardo signing. The team is in a win now mode, so I mean they kind of have to give up things like that. I much rather them give up a pick than an actual prospect. If that makes any sense, I'd rather them,
especially with how depleted the system is.
Yeah, yeah, I'd rather them, you know, work with what they have, and you know, not give away something that's somewhat, or you like, you know what you have and you know what the ceiling is, than you know, take a gamble on something you don't know, you know, the next Matt Hopgood possibly.
Yeah.
So, I'm fine with the Fowler on that. Anything else you want to say on Fowler before we move on? Or Gallardo, not Fowler. I got Fowler on the brain.
No, I think pretty much covered all of it. So
yeah, we covered all the bases. Little piece of fluff news. We're not going to get into too many. We're not going to do any league news for baseball. There's a little bit for football, which is coming up right next. Again, there's no segue this week. I should say that right now. The last bit of Orioles news is that the Orioles are getting rid of Natty Bow in a majority of the stadium, and it's only going to be at certain vendors in the stadium. They're no longer going to walk around with the Natty Bow cans. And, you know, most people, like Connor here, Connor can explain his opinion in a second. I'm sorry, Connor. you know, people, oh, it's not a good beer, you know, it's, I think I'm going to steal Eric, because we talked about this before I lost all the audio. He called it, putting pennies in water and drinking that.
Yeah.
That was Natty Bow to him. But, Mark Brown of, Camden Chat, to eat more SK. He did a kind of article that I kind of agree with him with. It's it had to do Natty Bill has to do with a lot of the resurgence of the Orioles, because the Orioles right around the time they started winning, and you know, they brought back the Baltimore script on the away jerseys. They brought back the cartoon bird. And Natty Bo came back in cans, because previously you could only get it on tap in Baltimore, I believe. I think that was it. But it came back in cans. And it was kind of the resurgence of, you know, the old school Baltimore, you know, that Baltimore pride. And he makes a point, you know, that Mark Brown does. He makes a point that, you know, you can sit in a ballpark and drink Natty Bo again and kind of feel like what... Imagine what your grandparents or your dad was sitting there, you know, drinking a Natty Bo, watching the Oreos. You can kind of feel like they felt. And it's kind of a nostalgic thing. You know, I get that it's not – I don't drink, so I don't know you know, I can't compare Natty Bo to anything. So, but I get the nostalgic part of it. You know, it's not brewed locally anymore, yeah, but it's nostalgia. That's pretty much all it is. And that's the biggest argument for it. And, you know, it's probably not the biggest loss, but it just sucks to have, you know, for it to go away. So that's my take on it.
You pretty much covered everything I was going to say. My main point is it's been 20 years since it was brewed in Baltimore. I get the nostalgia of it, but apparently it tastes like shit. So, you can, and like I think Jake pointed it out in our Slack conversation, you can get a six pack for like $5.95 or something, take it home, and you know, burn your own house and like
get wasted there watching the Orioles.
Yeah, pretty much. And
yeah, it's like $9 at the stadium, and you can buy a six pack for like $5.
Yeah, or you just load up at Pickles, go in, and barely watch any of the game.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, personally, the only thing I find worth buying at Camden Yards is literally the food. I mean, the crab mac and cheese hot dog is I die and go to heaven every time I take a bite when I go to Camden. Like, it pissed me off when Geno's left, when Geno's was in the center field food court. They had this one burger. I can't remember what it was called, but it was a burger. It was a crab cake on top of a burger, and it was so good. Oh my god, that would I was mad when they stopped serving that because that was such a good. I don't think it was that expensive either. I think it was like $10 or under, if I'm remembering correctly, which is a crazy good price. But it's probably the reason why Geno's isn't there anymore.
So. Yeah. It's all about them chicken tenders when you gotta go.
I don't get the hype on over the chicken tenders. I've never had the chicken tenders.
You gotta get them first base side, first entrance, off of Utah Street. That's the best one in the stadium, just because they always make them fresh right there. And
really,
yep, get them with the fries. You know, I drink it with the water because I don't drink soda. So, but I'm going on a diet, trying to. So I'm trying to eat better. So I'm probably not gonna indulge in that as much this upcoming season.
You're still gonna eat the chicken tenders
every now and then, probably.
You're still gonna eat the chicken tenders
every now and then. Trying to be a healthy human being here.
Psh, come on, food's too good.
Sometimes I don't eat that much as it is, so I need to just eat better.
Yeah, I do too, but it is what it is. All right, getting back on track. I think that wraps it up for all the baseball stuff we wanted to talk about. Anything else you want to talk about specifically?
No.
Connor is so interested. He's so invested in this.
I am.
All right, well, we're just going to hop over to football and hit some quick points since, you know, Connor's not a big football person, so it's probably just going to be me talking to myself.
What? No, I love the football.
Do you love football or do you love soccer? Because they call football over there.
Soccer's pretty cool.
I will give soccer this. That is probably the best sport to watch on television just because there are no commercial breaks.
Yeah, we had this
There's one at halftime, and that's it.
Yeah, like we had this conversation kind of in an earlier episode of like just what we like when we watch sports. Soccer's up there. Hockey in the playoffs because there's even less commercials. Basketball, I fall asleep during football, and then baseball, I just watch it because I'm a baseball fan.
Yeah,
like
the fourth quarter of basketball is probably it's probably on par with a full game of soccer and hockey, but that's about it. Excuse me.
Yeah, like the last like minute of like every NBA game takes like 20 minutes. It feels like.
Yeah, because all the
timeouts and fouling.
Only if it's close, not when it's a blowout, because who cares in a blowout?
Well, yeah. And then NCAA games are even quicker because they're only two halves.
Yeah. I love watching college basketball. I've been getting into a lot of it this season. Well, past two seasons. Makes me irrationally angry when the Terps lose to fucking Minnesota. Ugh.
I don't care enough about college basketball to pick a team.
Of course you don't. You were a Syracuse fan there for a while. Don't forget.
Don't forget what? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, anyway, as I was saying, we're just going to hop over into football and talk a little bit. As far as league news goes, tonight, as of recording, which is the 26th, they officially announced that the salary cap is rising from $143 million to $155 million, a total of $12 million. And it's a lot more than teams were expecting because there was a ruling in court that said like the NFL hid like $200 million from the players. I'm not too well-versed on that. You can look that up on your own. But it pretty much just caused them to raise the cap even more because it had to been given back to the players, and you know you can't really just give it back to them. So they decided to do it on salary cap wise. And there's a couple teams that are going to be over $50 million in cap this offseason. It's the Jaguars, Raiders, Bears, Giants, and 49ers. And $50 million in cap room is quite ridiculous. That's like shit. You could probably get like 10 top top end players because like I can't think of a contract for reference, but it's about 2.5 Joe Flacco's. Let's put it like that, because Joe Flacco's getting paid like $20 million a year before restructure, of course. So that's a lot of cap room. And that helps the Ravens, since we're just going to segue over to the Ravens, unless you want to say something about the cap room, Kyle, or Connor.
I am not Kyle. How many episodes have we had? Unfaithful.
I still can't pronounce your last name right, so.
You not smart. You not loyal. I don't respect that.
Papa bless.
Another one. No. Another one. We the best music, number one album in the country. There's like a video of like it's like 12 minutes of just like DJ Khaled celebrating having a number one song in like the Bahamas, and he just says over and over again, number one album in the country. It's like, okay, first of all, it's not an album, it's one song. Number two, it never hit number one. So.
Well, he has, like, there's that one picture of him on Instagram where it's, like, he's talking, like, he said he's talking to the CEO of Apple, where he's, like, he's trying to get more servers because his single, like, overloaded the servers or some bullshit like that.
No, it didn't.
Papa Bless.
Like, just search DJ Khaled, like, cringe video or something on YouTube. It's so funny.
H3HD Productions, if people aren't familiar with them, it's this guy and his wife, and it's, they do parody stuff mainly, but he does like a quote unquote DJ Khaled documentary, and it's like, I think he said like his like his name is Calidius Maximus or something like that. It's so good. He treats it like Bigfoot, like DJ Khaled's Bigfoot, and it's great. Enjoy it.
Oh my gosh. DJ Khaled's like Wikipedia page. I was on his Wikipedia page today at work because I was bored, naturally. So I was just reading. And I was like, this guy, like, there's just a section called internet fame. It's like, that's all he's known for anymore. He doesn't make music anymore, I feel like.
He was a Snapchat filter. He's got that going for him.
Yeah, it's, I mean, his Snapchat story is like the light of my life now. He's like, bless up, Chef D, what we having this morning? And, of course, like, every person tries to make their own parody of it, and none of them are funny. Except for, like, a couple people who I know, and they, like, actually know how to be funny, so.
Well, I think I said this in a previous podcast, but there's a Twitter account solely dedicated to recording what DJ Khaled has had for breakfast every day.
Egg white. Toast, water.
We should probably get back on topic. See, this is what happens when you give two 20-year-olds unrestricted access to the internet and two microphones.
Another one. Bless up. We the best music.
Okay, this is getting up to the point of your bear playing baseball rant. So.
Oh no, I still need to watch that. My bear's playing baseball. What other animals? Well,
it's a dolphin.
Dolphins. Yes, dolphins. Speaking of dolphins, you sound like one right now.
Oh God, shut up. All right, let's get back on topic. We've strayed away from the path. The Ravens, the Baltimore Ravens. Yes, we haven't talked about them in a long time.
The who? What?
That team. That's that stadium. That's across from Camden Yards. That the Terps use every once in a while. That one.
Oh, I think I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, the one that has, like, a statue of an old guy and
another old guy
in a suit.
Rings a bell. Another off-tangent, but after this, I'll shut up. Every time I walk by the Ray Lewis statue, I always go on Snapchat and put like, the poop emoji underneath him. Because he looks like he's pooping, but that's beside the point. Anyway,
No, in his hand, he looks like he's holding, like, a... like a shit hoagie or like a piece of shit, like legit.
Yes, they
fucked up.
I always make a joke like you put the guy dancing next to the greatest quarterback of all time, like he's dancing, football player.
They should have gotten whoever did the statue garden at Camden Yards to do Ray's one, but I guess they didn't.
No, they.
Because those ones are actually pretty cool, but Ray's is kind of meh.
Yeah. My only complaint about the Orioles statue is that Cal's is playing defense and not the salute from the 20.
Yeah, the hat.
From the 21-31 game. That's my only complaint. And Brooks should be the one going to, like, his left or right.
Yeah, if anything, Cal and Brooks should be switched because Brooks looks like he's positioning himself and Cal was the one big person on positioning because that's how he changed the mold is because it wasn't that he was the fastest shortstop. It's that he knew how to position himself that way he could get to the ball. And that's why big guys can play shortstop now because of Cal Ripken.
Carlos Correa, dude's huge.
Yeah, Tulowitzki, he's huge.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anyway, Ravens. The Ravens have franchised their kicker, Justin Tucker. And I'd say that's most definitely worth it. I think they're only paying with the franchise tag. It's $7.5 million because franchise tag is the top five or top 10 salaries averaged. It's definitely worth it. I imagine the only thing holding up negotiations, this is my guess, is the fact that he had a bit of a down year on some of the longer field goals. So I imagine that's kind of the sticking point on some of the numbers, but I imagine that they're going to get a deal signed. Or if anything, after this season, they're going to give him a deal because, let's get ready for this, they have made an aggressive, quote-unquote, offer to Kelechi Asamoah. And that's interesting because they're trying to envision him, I should say. It's been quoted that they envision him playing left tackle, which I don't necessarily agree with because I remember him playing left tackle. I think it was rookie season, and he wasn't all that stellar. I wasn't a fan of him at left tackle, and as soon as he moved to left guard, he became one of the better guards in the league, and I don't know why you changed that. I guess that's because he wants to be, like, I believe it's quoted that he's hitting the market as a left tackle. That's what they're going to be selling him as, and imagine the only way to keep him is to pay him as a left tackle, so I guess that's their only choice, and if they pay him as a left tackle, they're going to have to play him as a left tackle, because it's kind of ridiculous paying a... Because if they get up to, like, 10, 11 million, which I imagine where it's going to be, he's going to be, like, the third... he's going to be, like, the third or fourth highest paid left tackle in the league. So, and if you pay him that money, he makes more than Yanda, which is just ridiculous considering he is the best guard in the league, in my opinion. It's probably because I watch him too much. But I'm not necessarily a fan of that, but it's definitely a good thing to keep your good offensive linemen. I mean, the good thing about that is that you have two guys that could pretty much play that left guard position to take over. There's Ryan Jensen. They seem to be big on him. And then there's John Urschel. I envision Urschel taking over the center position eventually because Zatah is not amazing, and I believe he was hurt this year, or he got hurt last year. So I imagine Urschel eventually taking over the center position, so they're probably going to move Jensen to left guard. Maybe Urschel at left guard for this season because Zatah is like in his last season of his contract, I believe. Don't quote me on that. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But that's how I envision that playing out, even though I'm not a fan of Asamoah at left tackle. Connor, do you have any thoughts?
Please clap. I'm sorry, I had to. I'm sorry, that's become my favorite thing ever. It's just, he's so sad. Please clap. The remixes of it are amazing too. But back to the sports. I don't watch a lot of Ravens games, but I always see people saying, like, Osemele is good. So I feel
he's good at guard. I'm not very excited for him at tackle, but because it doesn't necessarily translate. I mean, the good news is if they pay him that much, they're probably going to get some money back by restructuring Flacco's contract, because that's going to happen, because there's no way they pay him what they're paying him right now. Eugene Monroe is probably gone. They've save, like, I think, I don't know the number. I don't have the number in front of me, but they save a decent chunk if they cut him. I think they even get more if he's a post, like, June 5th cut or something along the lines of that. I was reading all this earlier, or last night, I should say, before everything went down. But it's something along those lines. And then there's other guys that they can cut that could be cap casualties. Webb, Forsett's a legitimate possibility. Some people are saying Daryl Smith, although I don't necessarily agree with that because we don't have another middle linebacker besides Mosley, and we need another middle linebacker to play 4-3, or, yeah, 4-3, or 3-4, I mean. And you were saying, Connor, I'm sorry, I cut you off with another.
No, you're fine. But, yeah, Osemele's decent. He's not a Yanda level guard style. And then I like the point you made about Urschel moving to center over Jeremy Zutah, just out of pure skill, out of the two players they are.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard not to root for Urschel, considering the guy goes to MIT now and he's getting his doctorate in mathematics as a football player. So You definitely want to see him do well, but he definitely does seem like a legitimate choice. I don't think he's going to be a great lineman. I honestly don't, but I do think that he's going to be average, and you know, I'd take that over a lot of the shit I've seen. I've seen Michael Orr at left tackle, ladies and gentlemen. That's not a pretty sight.
When it was just like false start number 74 or 72 because he's on the Panthers, 72 now. All the Ravens fans on my Twitter feed during the Super Bowl. Well, false start, Michael Orr.
Yeah, we've seen it all before. I mean, people have PTSD flashbacks because of it. So,
like, I was thinking, like, back when I was watching some Ravens game, or I was watching something, and Michael Orr tweeted because I followed him, and I made a joke about him false start, and he blocked me, and I screenshot. I was like, best block Michael Orr's had all year.
Did you add him?
Yeah.
Great. I love it. It's funny when professional football players can't take criticism.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
Exactly.
I mean, Zach Britton has me blocked for no reason, so I feel like I deserve a reprimand for that, or whatever the word is. Reparation for that. Because right. Zach Britton, please, I just want to like go up to him like at a game, like, hey Zach, do you know who I am? He'd be like, no. Well, you blocked me on Twitter. Unblock me, please.
Yes, I'm going to plea to the, what is it? He's like 6'3" or whatever, professional baseball player, to please unblock me on a social media site that has no meaning.
Zach Britton, we the best music. Unblock me. Do you know what I'll do if I? You know what I'm going to do to Twitter if he doesn't unblock me? Make another one.
God damn it.
You can do the jokes for anything. It's amazing. Adam Jones. Jones, it's a home run. Next up, Chris Davis. Another one.
That's going to legitimately happen this season, and you are going to fucking send so many of those out.
Mark Trumbo. Another one. Jonathan Scope, another one.
It's just, you're going to send out four pictures of on your Twitter. It's all going to be the same pictures of another one.
We need like another like seven home run game.
Yeah, something like that.
Just for that reason.
All right. We can actually get onto a football topic that you probably have an opinion about.
Ooh. Hashtag opinions.
Ozzie Newsome has came out in a press conference sometime this week, or I can't remember when it was, and I believe it was at Indianapolis. Don't quote me on that. But he came out and said that the Ravens will not be drafting any players that have a history of sexual assault in their background.
Well, Ozzie being quoted in Indianapolis by this, according to Cody Colson, so... You know, I like that. That's obviously smart, especially after what the Ravens did with the Ray Rice situation. I feel that it's probably the best way to go about things just because a lot of college kids are stupid and a lot can, you know, have something that gets swept under the table, but maybe a GM sees and says, hey, this will come out if he's on our team. Like with the whole, I think it's Baylor scandal that was there a lot. And if it just something comes out later and it's like, oh, well, we don't want you on our team. This came out about you and you're like a sophomore or whatever. Yeah, we're not going to draft you. That's probably a smart way to go about business.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I don't know if he meant like sexual assault. I don't know if he included domestic violence in there as well, but I imagine he did, considering what happened.
I'd imagine it probably be like the same kind of, like situation. Well, it's not the same situation, but it's like the same kind of, hey, we don't want you on our team. You did bad stuff to women, kind of thing.
Okay, yeah, it was in Indianapolis. I'm reading the article, and Ozzie Newsome said, "Would we draft someone who has a sexual assault?" With what we've gone through, we won't. So those players that have that in their background, we stay away from them. But he also did mention we've dealt with players who once we get them in the building, they do change. So, I mean, I do like the idea that, I mean, second chances are something I'm a big believer in, but, you know, you got to do what's right for business at the end of the day, especially in sports leagues. So, I mean, if they're not going to draft them, okay. If they will sign them, if, you know, if they've been rehabilitated, if they change their ways, I wouldn't have a problem with the Ravens signing them. I mean, we've all seen what Greg Hardy, how much shit the Cowboys have gotten with Greg Hardy this season. And, you know, it's just kind of sad that he's still allowed to be in the league. I think it, personally to me, I don't like the fact that the NFL suspends them or the team puts them on the list even if before they've been convicted. I think the suspension needs to be handed out. If a conviction comes through, if they find that this person's guilty of it, you know, that's when the ban should come through. And you know, I feel like it's a two strike system. The first time you do it, you get a year suspension. The second time, you're out of the league. You know, I don't think there should be any leeway. Hopefully, it gets addressed in the upcoming CBA. I think that's not until like the end of next year. Don't quote me on that again. It's something along those lines. But that's my whole feeling on the thing. I mean, I don't know. It's a very, 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 it's something you got to tiptoe around, and I'm not the best at doing that at times. So
yeah. It's just a hard thing to you. I would feel like after so much shit the NFL has done with all of this, after handling it so poorly, they would find a way to do better. But obviously, yeah, they can't until it's too late. So it's going to be a while until I feel like it's the best situation possible to where, you know, players don't have to fear. Well, if they do stuff like this, they should fear for their jobs. But if, you know, it's just allegations and then it comes back and say, hey, it was a misunderstanding or anything, like, depending on, like, I have no idea what a case could be where it could be misunderstanding, but, like, if it was somehow...
Well, it's like that that linebacker for the Falcons a couple years ago. It was a false accusation, but it still stayed on his record until he literally got the woman to confess to it being a false accusation. That way he could take it to a judge and get it taken off his record. And he completely fell out of the draft, if I'm not mistaken, because of that. And he actually served like a year of jail time for it.
Yeah, it's
that's why I'm hesitant about everything, because at the end of the day, they can still be found innocent. It could be a completely, you know, scumbag move by someone else to, you know, put them, you know, make them lose their career, which I'm not a fan of, but. Then again, you know, the people who do it are real scumbags and should face consequences.
Yeah. Like I said, it's tough. You got to make sure it's all accurate and make sure all the information is there before you. But I feel like the punishment should fit the crime, though, when it doesn't in the NFL.
Yeah. That's definitely an issue, too, because the commissioner has too much power to, you know, get a call on what the ban should be, the punishment should be, because what Ray Rice got initially was like 4 games, or was it 2 games?
4, and then it was bounced to, I forget how it went, down to like none, and then it was like a year ban or lifetime ban or whatever it became.
And then what is it? Tom Brady got 4 games for deflating for. "Quote unquote deflating footballs."
Yeah, when Ray Rice or Greg Hardy got 2
initially, but he got put on the exempt list by the team, so that one's kind of weird.
Yeah,
but it's just, you know, is deflating footballs just as bad as, you know, hitting your wife? And the only reason that, you know, things change is because a video came out, and now they've spent so much money on, you know, saying, "Oh, we're not defensive." Violence is, what is it, the say something? I forget their advert.
Oh, with, like, all the players?
Yeah, with, like, Chris Carter.
Oh, my gosh. Like, enough is enough or something?
Yeah, something like that. And it's just kind of, it's kind of insulting, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
It's like, we know you don't really care. You're just trying to cover your ass. it's the same. I don't know. It's. I don't want to compare it, but the thing that comes to mind is their It Gets Better thing. I don't think that's an NFL thing. I think that's more of a team thing, but they have the It Gets Better for the LGBT community when Michael Sam got so much shit, even though it wasn't by the NFL really, but I don't know. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, he was still like in the sports world and got so much criticism for being himself when that whole campaign came out. With I think the Orioles even made a video with that. A bunch of MLB teams did.
I know the 49ers did, and then that same season is when Chris Colfer made all those anti-gay remarks. That's the only thing I remember from it. That's why I pointed it out.
Yeah, and it was actually No More is the NFL's domestic violence commercials.
Okay, No More.
No,
okay.
It's always like, No More, No More, No More. Yeah, it's always a hard thing to judge just because you want everything to be correct and make sure...
Correct and fair, and it's the legal process takes time.
Yeah.
And that's not really something they have in the NFL world because seasons only last so many months.
Yeah.
And a player only had, you know, a player can still be, you know, profiting. He has so long to, he can still be profiting even though, you know, he's a scumbag who shouldn't really have a job. And he probably wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for the fact that he's playing for the NFL, which is a multi-million dollar industry.
So. Exactly.
I think that wraps up our thoughts on everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, well, that pretty much wraps up the show for tonight. I'm sorry we ended on such a sour note, but, you know, sometimes we got to talk about real issues on this podcast.
You can't just keep making jokes. We're not that funny.
Yeah, we're not that funny. Otherwise, this would be a much more popular podcast, I would guarantee you. where can we find you on social media, Connor?
You can find me on the Twitters at Connor_Gersio. You can find me on BaltimoreSportsReport.com. I'm getting ready to write my 2016 Orioles season preview.
Ooh.
So, should be pretty fun. It'll be depressing to write, and I'll probably have to go get all the tears out mid writing. So,
well, at least you can talk about the Orioles.
Yeah.
Not employed by them anymore.
Yes, I can finally give my opinion publicly.
Publicly.
But yeah, so that'll be coming out probably early to mid March. I want to see like the final, like guys in camp if they bring in anybody else, like if they trade or whatever. So I'm just gonna wait on that a little bit. You can find my other website, ConnorGersio.com, right there, and you can hit me up on all those, email me, tweet me, all that stuff.
Yeah, we're still taking questions for the show. If you have any questions for the show, please send them to Connor at ConnorGersio@gmail.com or between two birds. That's the full spelling, between two, the actual word two birds at gmail.com. We accept everything there.
We don't accept emails from Nigerian princes asking for money, so please stop emailing me. And no, Grandma, Obama was born in America.
Oh God, forwards from Grandma.
Forwards from Connor's grandmother.
You can find me on social media at @_Cody. I keep on saying I'm going to get back to writing. I possibly actually will. I'm about to actually have a bunch of more time on my hands doing nothing because I'm getting another... Well, I might as well say it. I'm going to be the editor of my high school... Or not high school. College.
Cody's going back to high school, guys.
Yeah, that's a sitcom waiting to happen. I'm becoming the editor over there, and I'm going to be having a lot of free time working in the newspaper office. So I'm probably going to be writing a bunch of stuff, and I might actually, whatever I write for there, if it's sports related, it's probably going to end up on BSR as well. So there's that. That's the only other. I mean, I'm not. That's about it. I haven't written much, but I'm possibly going to write more in the future for BSR. I keep on saying that, but. And I got some more plans that are possibly coming up in a couple months, but I'm not going to say anything on those yet. So that about wraps up the show. Anything? Last words, Connor?
We the best.
We the best.
We the best.
We the best.
We the best. Music. We the best. We the best music. Number.
Oh.
Number one record. Another one. Shout out. Shout out, Chef D. Okay, I'm gonna stop myself.
All right, we'll see you later, ladies and gentlemen. Bye.